Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, the love of Jesus is different from human love. Human love is based on feelings and emotion. And based on human love, I can't tell you to love everybody. You understand? There are some people you will meet that they will stimulate negative feelings based on what they've done to you or what they're doing to you. Amen? Yes, that's a limitation of human love. Amen? Even a mother's love is still human love, because human love is selfish. Human love, you always think of myself and all the people that are mine. Amen? Hallelujah. Human love is based on reason. You know, you want something, so you do something. Yeah? That's human love. But God's love is a selfless, overflowing love. It's a gracious and compassionate love. Hallelujah. God's love is gracious and what? Compassionate. God's love is selfless and overflowing. God's love is eternally committed to the best of the other person, and not because they deserve it. Hallelujah. That's the God kind of love we're talking about. Hallelujah. God loves me not because I deserve it. God loves me not because I'm good. He loves me because he's committed to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loves me because he is love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even when I'm wrong, he's seeking to restore me. Hallelujah. God does not want me to live in sin. He's not the type of love that says, it doesn't matter what you do, I love you. No! True love wants deliverance. Deliverance. Not continuation in bondage. Hallelujah. Someone who doesn't mind you remaining in bondage does not love you. Hallelujah. God does not want me to live in sin. No, his love wants to deliver me from sin so that I can live in righteousness. That's love. And he endures through it. See, God's love does not force you. Hallelujah. He proposes to you. He nudges you. He comes near to you. He endures with you. Yeah? He bears with you. He sends people to you. That's God's love. And that's the love we are called to walk in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm called to love like God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me show you something. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I hope that most of us are familiar with this chapter. If there was one chapter in the Bible you should be very familiar with, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And the reason is because that is the chapter in the Bible that describes God's love, or the God kind of love. And the reason I'm saying that you should be familiar with it is that he said that the greatest of all this is what? Is love. I want to show you something today in 1 Corinthians 13. Like never before. You know, you've read it, you've known it before, but the Holy Spirit will emphasize it to you, because you just need to capture it. So 1 Corinthians 13, open there. And we're going to have our youth read for us, if they are ready, or if not, then we'll move to the adults. 1 Corinthians 13. And where I want us to read from is verse 11. Then someone else will read verse 13. Actually, read verse 11 and then verse 13. Do you have it? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, and then verse 13. Please, let's combine those two. Go on.
When I was a child. I spoke as a child.
I understood as a child.
I thought as a child.
And I what? I thought as a child.
But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
But when I became what? A man. I put away childish things. Now, before verse 11, what has he been talking about in 1 Corinthians 13? What's 1 Corinthians 13 about? Tell me. Love. So the whole chapter is about what? Love. But now it says, let me just see what's happening. Yeah, we have that. We've been talking about love. Then it goes to verse 11 and says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Yeah? I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish. Or let me change it. But when I became mature, someone say mature. When I became mature. I put away childish things. Question I have is, how do I become mature? The answer is right there. Read verse 13. 13.
And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
The greatest of these is what? Is love. I don't know if you see what Apostle Paul is trying to communicate to us there. Read verse 1. Read verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, 1. Read it. Go on.
Through I speak with...
Though. Go on.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal.
Amen. If I have the gift of speaking, eloquence, supernatural language, whatever, and I don't have love, what am I? I'm nothing. I'm just a noisy gong. Yeah? Continue. Verse 2.
And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing.
I'm nothing. Even if I can give you a revelation of the past or the present or the future, and I don't have God's love, what am I still? Nothing. Empty barrel. Amen? This is it. Only by walking in love and growing in love can you become a mature Christian. It doesn't matter whether you spend 30 years in church. If you are not walking in love, you are still a child spiritually. You will still continue to speak like a child. You will say naughty things. You will say foolish things. You will think foolish things. Amen? And of course, I tell you the opposite of love. So, actually, let me ask a question. What is the opposite of love? Now, not human love. God's love. I've described God's love today, isn't it? Think about that definition. What is the opposite of God's love? Let's try the youth first. The opposite of love is what? Youth first. Come on, be bold. Yeah, girl?
Hate.
That's not my perfect answer. The opposite of God's love is not hate. Hate is the opposite of human love. I like this and I hate this. That's human love. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, I can like your dress, but not like your jacket. Now, I did this, I don't like your jacket. Before you report me. Yes? Did I see a hand? Yes? The opposite of God's love is what?
Selfishness.
The opposite is selfishness. Is there any other answer? Yeah. It's same. The opposite of God's love is selfishness. But I want to expand it today so you understand. The opposite of God's love is pride and selfishness. They are the same. They are twins. A selfish person is proud. You know why? They are thinking only of themselves. They deserve better than others, don't they? Hello? Every selfishness is based on the fact that I deserve it better than others. All sin is pride and selfishness. All. Tell me any sin. I can show you that is pride and selfishness. All of sin. All. Hallelujah. And that is the opposite. In fact, that is what we are born with. Every human being is born with some level of pride and selfishness. Now, depending on the environment in which they grew up, that pride will be fed. Sometimes pride comes out as stubbornness. You know, they are stubborn. And they say, look, I know I'm stubborn. Yeah, no, stubborn is a nice word. Dressing pride. If you are stubborn, what are you? Proud. You never overcome your stubbornness until you humble yourself. Amen? So say, oh, no, I like my personal space. Anybody here like their personal space? I know some people, they like their personal space. Anybody like their privacy? You like your privacy? Anybody like privacy? Amen? there is a degree of personal space you begin to engage that is no longer healthy. It is now selfishness. Amen. It's not selfishness. Because you are trying to secure yourself and protect yourself from others. The problem with that is that you cannot be a blessing. Amen? Every time you stay within your personal space, nothing is going in and nothing is going out. Amen? It's still pride and selfishness. Amen? So say, I worked hard for my money. Anybody worked hard for their money? Tell us what it means to work hard for your money. Can you tell us what it means? She only recently started to work hard for her money. So tell us, what does it mean to work hard for your money? What are the sacrifices involved in earning money?
You work for
if you
hours,
want money.
Hours on end.
Hours on end. Sometimes you stand on end.
You can't always do other stuff you want to.
Other stuff you want to do. Yeah. Any other thing? Let's tell us. There are people that are more experienced than you here. What are the sacrifices you go through to get that money? Sorry?
Sleep.
Like you sleep. Loss of sleep or sleeping. Extra sleep.
No, loss of sleep.
Yes. Sacrifices we go through to get money. Anybody? Come on. Come on, church. What are the sacrifices you go through?
Training, personal development.
Personal development, training, and extra training. Yes.
In some jobs, some people even insult you.
You endure. The insult you will never take from your husband or your wife, you will just endure it like a dummy. Don't say zombie. Yes. Any other one? Any other thing you work at, you go through for your money? Amen. Any other one? Yes. Let's take one more.
Hours of travel and
hours
disruption, train disruptions.
And every day. I was speaking with someone yesterday. Say I have to wake up at 6 and not leave home at 6 something. You know, and you do that. You know, sometimes you not even do that on Sunday. Huh? But you did for money. You did for money. Some people they are habitual latecomers, but they will never go late to work. It's still connected to your money. But some, they are so ambitious, they will go late to everything. Even their wedding day. Amen. That's a different category, isn't it? Now, why am I going there? I'm just saying that when you've worked that for this money, yeah? And then someone has a need. And God is depending on you. Or even maybe it's not someone, maybe it's the church. But actually, the church is still people. And say, I worked that for my, if you know what I went through. Yeah? Every single penny of this money, I must spend it on myself. Because I worked that for my money. Amen? That's not love. What is that? Pride and selfishness. You know, it's not only selfishness, it's pride. Because now you think you deserve to enjoy what you worked hard for. Let me tell you the problem with that. The problem is that you forgot that to work hard for your money, you needed a brain. Who gave you the brain? What about good health? No matter how much you want to work hard, if your hand refused to move, could you work hard? No. Hallelujah. That's one of the ways we can begin to deal with pride in our lives. To understand that everything you have that makes you want to feel proud, you received it. Amen. So I'm the most beautiful teenager. Or the most handsome. I have a nice haircut. Hallelujah. You know? And then you start bouncing, you know? You don't even walk normally anymore, you know? I'm not talking about him. Huh? You know what is at work? Pride. You know, it's like, I'm so pretty. So now at school, there are some people you're not going to talk to. They don't even desire. They are not at your level. Huh? What are we talking about? Pride. Amen? You say, I'm no longer a youth. I'm 25 now, so I can't sweep the floor of the church. They are the younger people. What is that? What is that? Pride. Amen. Do you know the first sin that ever happened in the world? The very first sin? It was Satan. God did not make him a Satan. God did not make him a Satan. God, he was the most beautiful angel. His name was Lucifer. From Lucifer, you get the name Lucy. Yeah. Because Lucifer is not a bad name. Of course, you don't want to bear Lucifer now. Yeah. Yeah. It's not. Lucifer means the shining one. The shining one. Another meaning is the morning star. Huh? Another meaning is the crescent moon. It's a beautiful name. Amen? But then he became proud. And I keep saying to him, why didn't God stop him from becoming proud? Because he has free will, just like you do. That's why the same reason why God does not stop you from doing selfish things. It's your will, isn't it? But he will give you his light. He will give you his light. He will show you his love. But you have to make a choice. Walking in love is by choice. Amen? You are born again. Yes. You have tasted the love of God. Yes. Now you have to respond to it by choice. Hallelujah. And every time you're not walking in love, God will send people into your life to remind you that you can make that choice. Hallelujah. You can never, never be mature as a believer if you don't walk in love. You're a baby. If you meet a Christian who is proud and selfish, they are a spiritual baby. It doesn't matter if they can quote from Genesis to Revelation. He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. They will speak as a child in anger and rage and selfishness. Hallelujah. Because they've not yielded themselves to the love of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. To be mature means to walk in love and grow in love. The more you walk in love, the more you will grow in love. Because what happens is that as you walk in love, you're inborn. You were born with it. Everybody is born with it. So that's why we call it ego. It's pride. Ego is pride and selfishness. Ego is what? Right. That's why, in general, I don't talk about self-esteem. Amen. Self-esteem is still about pride and what? Selfishness. But I know, there's a good thing there. You know what I talk about God-esteem. Amen. What you need is more God-esteem. When you have God-esteem in you, you know you're a child of God. Amen. You know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know that you are an ambassador of Christ. Hallelujah. You know you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You know you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. That's my esteem. Hallelujah. It's bigger than self-esteem. Hallelujah. You can throw me anywhere in this world. I still have esteem because I belong. Hallelujah. I know what he said. He said, I will never leave you. Know what? Forsake you. If someone is trying to harass you in your life, sometimes there's a point you need to get to when the harassment reaches the point, you call their bluff. Are you with me? You know why? Because you are not dependent on them. You are dependent on who? God is my Father. Hallelujah. You will never experience some miracles in your life until you call the bluff of the oppression. I'm not saying you call their bluff at the first instance. Yeah? Give people chance to repent. Give them room. Bear with them. But they must get a point whereby you say, you know what? If our God, you know those Hebrew children, they say, if our God delivers us, okay. But if not, we will still not going to bow to your statue. Sorry. Hallelujah. Then they enter the miracle. Nobody ever enters a miracle until they make a decision to honor God. Hallelujah. When you make your decision, say, you know what? You know, what are you? Okay, enough is enough. I have God. If you can't help me, leave it. My God will help me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They will say, there's no way. Say, no problem. I have God. If you don't learn to live like that, you will compromise. And when you compromise, they will pull you down. Praise the Lord. Say, what I need is God's esteem. Hallelujah. I don't know if you understand it. To have God in your life, you already have the greatest blessing. Hallelujah. If somebody who has £1 million does not worth anything compared to someone who has God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If they die with their £1 million without knowing God, both themselves and their £1 million will perish. Hallelujah. But when you have God, you have the greatest thing. I'm telling you how. And all you need to do is know how to operate it. Hallelujah. You just need to know how to operate your relationship with God. And that comes through faith and hope and love. Hallelujah. Love is the key to power. Hallelujah. No matter my spiritual gifts, if I'm not gracious, I'm not compassionate, I'm not selfless, I don't care about people, I don't feel for people. Yeah? The gifts is useless. Your money is useless. Even your achievement is useless. Even your life without love is useless. Because you can never fulfill your destiny without love. Hallelujah. It's that love that will keep guiding you into your destiny. Because your destiny is always connected to people. Your destiny in Christ is connected to what? People. You will never reach people without love. Hello? Say, I renounce the selfish life. Hallelujah. I renounce it. You know, there was a man that came to Jesus. A young man. I cannot probably, should we estimate 18 or 20? He came to Jesus. And he said, good teacher, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told him, why are you calling me good? Yeah? No one is good except God. It's not about being good. It's about following God. Hello? It's not about being good. Don't sit down and say, well, I'm not the baddest person. At least I try here and try. You don't deceive yourself. That's not what God is looking for. What is God is looking for is your heart to follow Him. Hallelujah. You see, the only goodness that God will accept for you is the one you did in obedience to Him. You can't just go up and say, oh, this is a good thing. God, take. God doesn't accept those things. Never. The one you accept is like, Audrey, can you help me take this chair to the front? Then you do it. That's acceptable. Amen? You can't impress God with your standalone goodness. You can only follow Him. He Himself is the definition of good. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus said, what can I do? Jesus said, well, go. You know the commandments. Just go and keep the commandments. This is what Jesus is showing there. He's trying to teach him the difference between good and God. Hallelujah. Between selfishness and love. You can be selfish and still do good things. Then you will be deceived and say, well, I do these good things. But you are still a selfish person. You could be giving the greatest contribution to charity and not give anything to church. And you think you are good. Hallelujah. It's God that will help you draw the line and say, excuse me, you have a problem. So look, he said, you know the commandments. If you want to be good, keep the commandments. You know what I learned from that place? Keeping the commandments is not enough for being good. Hallelujah. Because the young man came back to you and said, Master, that's talking to Jesus, said, I have kept all the commandments since I was young. Huh? Did you just tell him that? Did you just clap for him? He said, no. He said, you are having only one major problem. I know your problem. Right now, you think you are good. Yeah? And you just want me to confirm it. He said, Jesus told him. He said he loved him. He looked at him. He loved him. He told him, he said, only one problem you have. All the things you have, must sell it. Then, but don't stay there. The key is not, I will explain this parable, this story to you. It's a story, real story. It happened. Someone came to Jesus. He said, but that's not what he said, but then come and follow me. I told you, I said, goodness is defined by following Jesus, doing his will. And you can never do, follow him well and do his will without love. Because, you see, without love, you'll be holding tightly to yourself, to your security, to your future. And the problem is that if when you are not in love, your faith cannot work as much. Because the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it said, faith works through love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith, it works through love. The way I like to describe it, it's like you have a car. You have a car engine, and you have a car battery. The car battery is faith. The car engine is what? Is love. You need the battery to start the engine, don't you? So also you need faith to walk in love. If you're going to follow your feelings, you will never walk in love. You know that? If you're going to follow your head all the time, your reasons, you will never walk in love. You will always find a reason why not. Hallelujah. You are angry. Someone has annoyed you. You are angry. You are in a position to shout at them. Why will you walk away? Amen? Everything in your body says shout. And you know that if you shout, nobody's going to arrest you. You're not afraid of shouting because someone will arrest you. You can shout. But why will you walk away? Only love. Because at that moment you're processing and say, if I shout at this moment, how does he glorify God? And how does he solve the problem? So I say, oh, you know, it will not solve any problem. The only thing it will do, it will glorify you. Or it will massage your ego, your pride. You know, like a voice in you will say, ah, I can't take that rubbish. I can't take that rubbish. Hallelujah. But you take the rubbish to glorify God. But let me tell you something. Many times we don't take it because you think that God has slept. Because Romans 12:1 says, he said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. The fact I'm walking, Lord, does not mean he will not repay. The only reason why God will not repay, yeah, is when the person repents. And even, in fact, not just repent, sometimes make restitution. Hallelujah. He said, I will repay. So when I walk away, I just say, Father, I thank you because you will repay. It may be 2 years' time. But don't you trust God? That God knows the best way to repay? You want to repay. You want to take the place of God. You don't need to take the place of God. You will stop your faith from working. Let me tell you something. If I'm trying to achieve a result, yeah, I should just focus on the result. Let's assume that I need, what can I need now? Brand new suit. Brand new suit. Or brand new trainers. You know, the type of trainer that you can bounce in and feel like, you know, a cool guy. Amen. I go to my friend. He has some money. No, actually, he doesn't have some money. I lent out some money to him. Are you with me? I have lent him £50. He said he will repay in October. And I need these new trainers for my birthday in November. Actually, I need new trainers, by the way. So I go to this friend. It's my money, remember? It's my money. My hard-earned money. And I say, well, you know, here's the deal. You know, you said you pay me back October 1. It's October 30. Can I have my £50? I've already planned to buy these trainers for my own, a personal birthday present to me. Do you understand? And he says, you know, sorry, I don't have it. And then I say, I push it. I say, but I need this money. He said, why are you disturbing me? It's not just £50. Hallelujah. Tell me, what are you going to do to that person at that moment, Sister BJ?
I've repented now, though. So I think I'll just walk away. I leave the person to go, but if, yeah.
You have done. In the days he didn't repent.
No, I'll collect that money.
What an idea of a strategy.
I will collect that money. I'll look for an item of value and take care of that.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I think she's just being very gentle today. Let's find somebody else. What will you do in that situation? In the past. Just give us exactly what you would do.
Probably fight with the person for my life. Physically, mentally, in every level. I will arrest the person.
Any other person, what will you do?
I just want to give, I just remembered a situation in secondary school. I was in home economics practical and we had to partner with someone else. And we had like a proper presentation. And I was partnered with my friend and she didn't drop anything for the practical. So I virtually used all my money to buy the food, everything we needed for the practical. So a day to the practical, we were with someone trying to design some stuff for us. Then I saw, normally they would sell momo, you know, hostels then, like beans cake, yeah. And I saw that she disappeared and something told me that she's going to buy that thing. So after she left and she came back, I went back to the room. I know where she keeps her key. I opened the cupboard. I saw it. Then I took those things. I put it in my cupboard. Then I put her key back. And when we got back to the room, I started walking around looking for it. She didn't see it. I said, what's the matter? She said nothing. And I knew what the problem is. After she had like troubled herself for a very long time, I took it back and I gave it to her. I thought you said you didn't have money and I spent all my money. Then I stopped speaking to her till I left secondary school.
Amazing. Oh my. Thank you for that. Thank God that's in the past. Hallelujah. You know, your story is so good because there's some twists and turns that I can't predict. For example, someone else will have eaten the food and then forgive her immediately. And say, you know, I ate your food and I forgive you. Hallelujah. Now, why would we go there? I just want to show you the alternative way. You know, that's is the way of the flesh. That's what a normal person will do. Not an abnormal person. To walk in love, it takes being abnormal. But not, I won't call it abnormal, I'll call it extra. It's an extraordinary life. Amen? Abnormal looks like something lower. It's super. It's extraordinary. Because all the time you are walking in love, you must keep your faith in gear. Let me explain. Because if I just say this, and it may be that you are just losing out. God did not call you to lose out. Loving is not losing out. Loving is the way to victory. Now, what I needed was £50. It wouldn't give me, isn't it? As I'm leaving, I just walk away. But as I'm walking, I'm having a conversation with God. God, I need £50 for my trainer. He has refused to give him my money. I put it in your hand. But I trust you. Because that person who didn't give you your money is not the only person on earth. You know that? You know that he's not the only person? Why put your faith only in that person? I trust you, Father, that money will come in. Amen? Now, you know what happens? From October 30 to November 16, no money. Amen? But I wake up on November 17th and someone has sent me a brand new £100? £100? Are you with me? He says, "My faith and work and love, they work together. The reason why you're letting go is not because of them, it's because of God. But when you let go, you must engage your faith. Because what did he say? He said, I will repay. He will not just repay the offender. He will also repay the generous person. It's the same principle. When God said, I will repay, don't imagine he's just going to repay them. He will repay you. He will repay you for walking to honor him. Your faith will work. Hallelujah. You meet some people in your life, it's like you're a Christian, they're a Christian. But it looks like God is blessing them more than you. You earn the same salary. I know you wanted to say something. I'll give you the opportunity. You earn the same salary. You're thinking, what are they doing? Okay, you attend church, they attend church. You sing in the choir, they sing in the choir. You do everything. And the same salary, but they are blessed. Why? Because they're walking in love and they're using their faith. He said, I will repay. Hallelujah. The person that disappointed you is not the only person on earth. Hallelujah. There's something that God told me. I'm going back to that story of the good person, the young teacher. Finish this and give his space, then we finish. Hallelujah. They are not the only person on earth. That person that is letting you down, for that person, there are 10 other people elsewhere that God can use to bless you. Look at the principle. They told Jesus. He said, Jesus, your mother and your brothers, they are looking for you. He said, who is my mother? You don't get the context. Jesus is there teaching people, teaching multitudes, maybe 1,000 or 5,000. Where were his mothers and brothers? Where were they supposed to be? And his sisters? Yeah. They were supposed to be there. They are supposed to be the first partakers. They are away. Then it's like they are looking for it so that Jesus should leave what he's doing, which is his own primary mission on earth, and go and attend to his mother and his brother and sisters. And it's not as if he's going to cook the dinner for them. It's still about this pride and selfishness. You know that we deserve to have you. You are our son. Hallelujah. Jesus told me, he said, Who is my mother? Where's my sister? He said, they are here. And he had enough mothers there. They took care of him and his sister. Jesus said, there is nobody who has given up anything for this gospel. Whether mother or father or brother or sister. He said, in this life, you have 100-fold. But I tell you, I just put my own condition. Because he assumes that you should know that condition. If you are living by faith. Hallelujah. I have sisters in this church. Amen. Some of my sisters, they are just scattered all over, you know. Some of them were not that tight, but I have sisters. Amen. I have brothers. Hallelujah. He said, we give you. So, who is that singular individual in this world that is good enough to punish you? When you have God in your life and you are walking in love and you are living by faith. Right before them, you will be achieving all the results. You will be achieving it. And that's part of their punishment. Amen? It's part of their punishment. Yes, let me leave room for Mr. Shelley.
You kind of mentioned that on the 16th, you haven't heard anything from and you didn't receive anything, but on the 17th, someone sends you new trainers. And I was like, even if no one did send you anything, I don't think that it makes your faith less. It might just have been that maybe God didn't think that trainers were kind of like a priority.
See the point? I see the point. Let me address that point in love. Amen? It's a good point because we experience these things. But I want to challenge us. I want to challenge our faith. I challenge myself. I don't want to, as a Christian, I don't want to live on speculation. So basically, I'm letting what happened interpret what God is saying. Is he dumb? Now, this is where more Christians are. You're saying the right thing. Yeah? But I want to take us to a higher level. If I want something, and I'm in active communion with God, from October 1, to November 16, I ought to be able to hear whether it's not his will for me. Amen? If I'm not hearing, I'm not communing. There are things I've prayed for and God has showed me. God changed my mind. I was praying, deploying all my arsenal, but then God just spoke to me. I said, no, take the other one. Or did the other one. Let's push ourselves for that type of relationship. Amen? Not, I don't want to interpret God by circumstances. He is not dumb. And he's not sleeping. Hallelujah. I would say every good and perfect gift comes from above. Hallelujah. The problem we have is that there are good gifts that are not perfect. There are good gifts that are not appropriate for you at that time. Amen? But you can know it. Because Bible says that these things are revealed to us by the Spirit. But how do you commune? You see, when I pray that I believe for something and I'm talking to God every day, I'm thanking God, He will speak to me. I expect God. Look, someone said, if you expect God to speak to you, He will speak to you. And also, if you believe that God hears you, He hears you. If you pray now, you don't believe that God has heard. How will He hear? Praise the Lord. So let me finish on that story. He told that rich man, he said, there's one thing you're lacking. Go and sell everything you have. And then come and follow me. Now, it's not saying that you should all go and sell everything you have. It's that person's problem. It was his idol. Bible says he had great riches. And those riches had him. Now, those riches had become his idol. They were the things that were stopping from having a relationship with God. They were the things that were stopping from walking in love. Yeah? No matter the commandments he has kept, he will be willing to kill to preserve his riches. Yeah? He will be willing to slander to preserve what? His riches. That riches can, it could be any other thing in any other person's life. Any good thing can become an idol. Anything in my life that I cannot let go because of God and because of love, yeah, is an idol. Praise the Lord. So finally, for today, we'll have a part two next week. For me personally, one of the greatest skills I've learned to walk in love is humility. Amen. That's why I tell you, if you give me five, even if I'm earning £1 million, you give me £5, I will praise you and appreciate you like that was the greatest thing that happened. Amen. You need humility to give. And you also need humility to receive. Look, I'm not just a giver. I'm a giver. I give much more than you think. I challenge you for that. I give much more than you think. Whether in this church or outside. Amen. You know, the other day I changed the home fellowship. I was going to use this £500 to pay my credit card bill. And then I get a message from abroad. I thought, this is not who I'm not spoken to. We met somewhere, but we've not spoken in over 20 years. He said, look, I'm about to be chased out of my house. Yeah? And I need to put a down payment, a year. Now, of course, I won't just do this. I check my heart. I check what the Holy Spirit is saying to me. You know, don't just be act foolishly. Ask, check. Because sometimes he will tell you, don't do it. I saw in my heart that, actually, that was what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. And I let go of it. But he came back. He came back, sister. He came back within a month. In multiple. Love and faith. Love will take you into power. When you walk in love, you will enter the supernatural. Because love is God's way. If you don't walk in love, you'll be living like any other human being. You work hard. You earn your resources and your achievement. Then you will hoard them. Then you will punish other people in your life. Yeah? To defend what you think you've achieved. Yeah? You will not fulfill your destiny. But if you walk in love, you are entering into the supernatural. It's a law. Even your health will be affected. Even your health will be what? You're affected. Anytime you're holding something against someone, it can make you physically sick or diseased. There are some diseases in people's bodies that is connected to their meanness. You know, some Christians are mean. Praise the Lord. Let's rise up. I just stopped there. I don't think we taught a lot, but I know that God has spoken. That's what matters. But today I want to challenge you to walk in love. Because He will repay you. Amen? Walk in love. Because what? He will repay you. Hallelujah. And when you are walking in love, use your faith. Believe for the impossible. If you are walking in love. And you will see more results. Hallelujah.